Knit 1, Purl 2, written by Rapunzeling, and read by Lattice Frames. Of all the things Sid expects to see Gino doing when he walks into his house, it certainly isn't sitting on his couch knitting. Sid stops halfway between the entry hall and the living room, iPhone clenched in his hand, and stares at Gino, who apparently hasn't noticed him coming in. Some sort of Russian soap opera is playing on the TV, and Jeffrey is sprawled under Gino's legs as he does something complicated with needles and yarn. As a very pretty woman in a low-cut red dress screams something and smashes a glass into a wall on the screen, Sid takes a breath. Gino? The needles slip in Gino's hands, yarn going somewhere, and Jeffrey takes the opportunity to get up faster than Sid thought was possible and barrel towards him. Sid carefully scratches him behind the ears, trying not to get drooled on, as Gino curses in Russian for a few seconds, and does something with the yarn. Then Gino looks over and apparently realizes Sid was there, because his eyes grow even wider than usual. "Sid? What are you doing over?" Sid says after a moment, still stupidly gripping his phone. "I texted you? That I was coming over, I mean." "Did not see text." Gino gets out, looking flustered as he abruptly stands up, bringing the yarn and needles with him. "I figured," Sid replies. He knows it's rude to stare, but he can't stop looking at the mess of yarn Gino's holding that looks suspiciously sock-like. "You can knit?" Gino looks away, cheeks flushing a dull red, and Sid instantly feels bad. I mean, not that it's a bad thing. That's really cool. I mean, you know that you can do that. I mean, he babbles, feeling stupider by the second. Why didn't you say? Gino's face is still a dark red, but he looks back at Sid with a half shrug. "No chance to say. Mama taught me when young, but didn't do for a while. Only do in last 2 years." "Oh," Sid says. Then after a second of awkward fidgeting, "Why?" After a moment, Gino shrugs. "Doing too much pressure or upset calms me down." Sid ponders that for a second. Okay. "Okay?" Gino repeats. "Yeah," Sid says. And when the tension slides out of Gino's shoulders, he allows himself to feel a bit triumphant. "Come on, let's watch some TV or something." "Not wedding dress show. That too terrible," Gino chirps back. But when Sid settles into the couch, flipping through the channels to find TLC, Gino doesn't say anything, just sits back against the cushions. After they've made it to the commercial break, Sid, possibly a little too invested in some Southern Belle's impending meltdown, he looks over to find Gino knitting, the soft click-click of the needles strangely soothing as he turns back to the screen. The thing is, once he knows Gino knits, Sid doesn't really expect that fact to ever be brought up again. It's not like knowing something chirp-worthy, like Neeler's inability to ever move out of Polly's house for good. It's something small, acknowledged once and not really talked about again. Thus, when Gino storms into his hotel room after an awful loss with a bag full of yarn and needles, Sid is a little surprised. "Okay if I stay here?" Gino asks. Words short and clipped even as he throws himself down onto the half of the bed Sid isn't laying on. Sid thinks about putting up a protest, but the expression on Gino's face, upset, a little angry, makes him stop. "You okay with this?" Sid asks, gesturing towards the TV, which is showing a rerun of Duck Dynasty, which Sid does not have a problem, okay? He can stop whenever he wants. "Fine," Gino says back, still curt, but he settles into the pillows and pulls out a ball of yarn and a pair of needles. Sid glances over, but it isn't the same project Gino had been working on a week ago. This time he has a ball of yarn with multiple colors, going from steely grays to the blue of their third jerseys. As Sid watches, Gino sets up the stitches on one needle, fingers moving quick and sure. "What are you going to make?" Sid asks, after a second, and Gino glances at him. Not sure. Maybe scarf? Gino says. And his voice is a little bit calmer. Sid nods back, feeling the tiniest bit pleased, and turns to the television. 5 minutes later, Sid's breath has evened out, the last of the game settling out of his shoulders. He can feel Gino pressed up against him, the soft clicking of his needles, an occasional small curse as he drops the stitch. When he reaches out with his foot to tap Gino's calf, Gino hums back at him, and Sid can't help smiling a little, barely focusing on the screen and not really caring at all. After that, it's like the floodgates have been opened. Sid starts to expect the knocks after bad games on the road or at home, especially the ones where they win only by the skin of their teeth. Gino will come into his room or his house with the weight of the day under his skin, angry and curt, settling down next to Sid and pulling out his latest project. An hour later, he'll have relaxed back into Sid, the sound of his needles blending into the white noise of the television. Sometimes he'll show Sid things, how to cast on, the difference between a knit stitch and a purl. Most of it, Sid doesn't understand at all, but he likes the way Gino talks about it, voice tinged with warmth and a bit of homesickness. Gino likes to switch between projects. Going from working on a pair of socks, to a hat, to what looks like the beginnings of a tea cozy. However, the one Sid sees the most is the gray and blue scarf he started in Sid's hotel room, slowly growing longer. You're pretty close to being finished, right? Who's that gonna be for? He asks once, leaning a little into Gino's shoulders as the highlights of the Steelers game play in the background. Haven't decided, Gino rumbles back. Oh, Sid replies, glancing back at the television in order to ignore the small surge of disappointment. Gino seems to catch that, however, as he nudges Sid a little with his shoulder. You like? Sid gets out, feeling flustered. I mean, you should be able to give that to whoever. I'm sure they'll appreciate it a lot. Don't worry, I understand, Gino replies, a hint of a laugh in his voice. Sid's selfish. I am not, Sid whines. But Gino just laughs, soft and low, and Sid can't help giggling in response. Just a little before leaning on Gino further, eyes slowly drifting shut. He wakes up with his head under a pillow on his couch, Gino apparently having let himself out. Slowly, he pulls himself upright, only to see the scarf, now finished, sitting on his coffee table. There's a note on top reading, I lie. Was going to give to Sid anyway. Smiley faces. Sid picks up the scarf and holds it to his nose. It's warm and soft, and he can smell just a hint of Gino's aftershave. He kind of wants to bury his face in it. When he wears it to practice the next day, Gino starts, jumping a little as Sid walks into the locker room, and then grins at him. Sid smiles back, feeling his cheeks pink up a bit, and ignores Duper's chirp about Sid suddenly gaining some style to carefully unwrap the scarf and get to work on gearing up. As the weather gets colder, Sid wears what he started thinking of as Gino's scarf more and more often to guard against the Pittsburgh chill. Gino still grins at him when he sees it, like he can't believe Sid's still wearing it. Sid can't really find the words to tell him that wearing the scarf makes him feel more centered, more calm. It's not like it's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or their handshake before games. But sticking his nose in the stitches and breathing in has become another thing that feels grounding, and maybe a little lucky. The knitting has insinuated itself into his routine as well. Gino's kept working on new projects, occasionally completing a tea cozy or a pair of mittens as he leans back next to Sid on the couch or the bed. And Sid's grown used to letting him in, settling into a comfortable silence while the TV blares and the clicking of Gino's needles leeches the tension out of both their shoulders. It's easy and quiet, nothing but the two of them. And there's no way for Sid to tell Gino that he started expecting to see him next to him. That every time their shoulders touch and their feet tangle, something warm grows in the pit of his stomach. It's something private.
and Sid can't help quietly relishing their shared secret, that he gets to see this part of Gino and keep it just for him. No one else on the team knows about the knitting, but eventually, everyone's noticed Sid's new addition to his wardrobe. "So where'd you get that scarf?" Duper asks as Sid walks into the locker room, face prickling from the change in temperature. "Been wearing it an awful lot lately."
"A friend made it for me," Sid says after a second.
Carefully stowing the scarf in his locker before getting to work on the buttons of his coat. "Is that the newest addition to the routine? A lucky scarf?" Neeler chirps from his stall. "Maybe I need to get one of those. Any chance your friend can make me one?" "Nope," Sid says, lips popping on the P before pulling off his sweater. "Get your own." "Ugh, Sid, so selfish," James replies, facing an exaggerated frown. "You can't share your friend with us? I thought sharing was caring, or... ow, gee!" Sid hadn't noticed Gino coming in, but the towel whipped at Neeler's ass certainly announced his presence. "No need to tease, Lazy. Maybe you just jealous because you not have nice scarf," he says, sounding lofty even as he shoots a wink in Sid's direction over James's shoulder. Neeler pouts back. "Way to be a dick, G. That really fucking hurt," he grumbles. But then Dan walks into the locker room, and the subject gets dropped. In retrospect, Sid probably should have been prepared for some sort of teasing, or something. However, when he walks into the locker room from game day practice a week later, to find his scarf, his Gino scarf, missing from his stall, it's a little blindsiding just how upset he feels. "Ha ha," he says, after going through his clothes again and turning to face the rest of the locker room. "Very funny, where the fuck is my scarf?" James and Beau, who's apparently reached the point where Sid being Sid can't intimidate him anymore, both snicker, and Duper coughs suspiciously into his fist. However, Sid wasn't expecting the slightly shifty look on Flower's face, any more than he was expecting the way his throat is getting a little tight. "Seriously, guys, this is just stupid," he says, knowing his voice is coming out in a bit of a whine, but not really being able to care. "Where is it?" "Going to have to find it yourself, Sid," Neeler calls out, voice sing-song. And Sid can't help scowling at him. "Thanks, Neelzy. That's really helpful," he snaps. Even he's a little surprised at how he sounds. Voice tight and curt. Apparently, Flower thinks so too, because he huffs out of breath. "This really isn't worth it," he says, digging around in his goalie pads until he pulls out the scarf. "Here, Sid," he continues and lobs it towards Sid. Unfortunately, Flower's aim is for shit, and he manages to knock over the one Gatorade bottle with a loose cap and spill it all over the scarf. Everyone in the locker room freezes, including Sid, except for Gino, who walks in from where he was talking to one of the trainers in the hall, stopping only when he sees Sid staring at the scarf on the floor. "What going on?" At the sound of his voice, everyone starts moving again. Polly, who's closest, picks up the Gatorade bottle and the scarf and hands the latter over to Sid, who grabs it with suddenly nerveless fingers. Carefully, he carries it over to the nearest bathroom, the sound of Neeler explaining what happened barely reaching his ears as he walks out the door. Over the sink, he wrings out the scarf, trying to get the last of the Gatorade out of the yard before running it under cold water. It's only when he hears a coughing noise that he realizes Duper is standing behind him. "Sorry, Sid," Duper says, and he does sound truly apologetic. "We didn't realize you'd react that badly." "I'm fine," Sid says, but his voice is too high and strained for even him to believe his own words. "It's fine." "It's not, man," Duper says, still with the quietly sincere voice that Sid isn't really used to hearing. "We didn't know it'd be that important to you." Sid doesn't say anything back, just keeps running the scarf under the tap water before carefully wringing it out again. After a second, Duper asks, "You going to tell me who you got it from?" No one, Sid replies, words a little too fast. Just a friend. It's no big deal. Sure, Duper says, like he's doing Sid the favor of letting it go, which, whatever. Sid doesn't want to deal with this. I think I'll let G in, though. It looks like he wants to talk to you. Fine, Sid says back. And he keeps staring down at the sink as the door swings open and then shut again. Sid? Sid looks up and over his shoulder to find Gino looking at him, face concerned. Hey, Gino. He manages to get out, before having to look down again. Hey, Gino says back quickly, reaching out to grab at the scarf. Is okay, yes? I come home with you, show you how to clean before we have game.
Okay,
Sid replies, voice quiet, but he lets Gino take the scarf from him, ignoring the feeling of Gino's fingers brushing his and following Gino out of the bathroom.
Sid drives home in silence, occasionally seeing Gino's car in his rearview mirror. The radio plays some song about winter cold and he fidgets, flipping between stations until settling on public radio. When he pulls into his driveway, which still feels a little unfamiliar, he's finally calmed down a bit, the sick, upset feeling in his stomach slowly disappearing. A few seconds after he opens his front door, Gino gets out of his own car to follow him inside, steering him towards the laundry room with a touch on the elbow. Can't use machine or will felt. Must do by hand, Gino tells him, walking over to the sink in the corner and stopping the drain. Where's detergent? Here, Sid says, grabbing the bottle from the shelf and handing it over. Gino takes it with a nod, humming as he pours some into the sink. Give me scarf. I show you how to do, Gino tells him, and Sid stands next to him, watching as Gino carefully submerges the scarf, making sure it's soaked before lifting it out and draining the water.
Can't rub together. Must be gentle.
Have soft hands, he says with just a hint of a laugh. And Sid can't help the giggle that comes out. Gino smiles back at him, eyes crinkling, before turning back to the task at hand. After they repeat the process a couple times, Gino takes the scarf over to where one of the towels Sid's forgotten about is lying on top of the folding table.
Carefully setting it on top before wrapping it up and rolling it. Once he's squeezed out the water to his satisfaction, he leaves the scarf on the table, throwing the towel on top of the dryer. He says as he spreads out the scarf. See, is easy. Just must be gentle.
Okay,
Sid replies, and when Gino gently pushes him out of the laundry room, he obeys. They end up in the living room, Sid flipping on the TV as they go. When he tries to sit in the armchair, Gino pulls a face at him, deliberately patting the couch cushion next to him, and only letting up when Sid settles down so that they're touching from shoulder to toe. Once they're arranged just like normal, Gino reaches for the basket he started leaving at Sid's house and pulls out his latest project, a hat in black and gold. So, Gino asks, after they've settled and Sid no longer feels the tension in his back, why are you so upset about scarf? Sid says, feeling a little shocked. Because they took it? Gino groans. The noise he makes when he feels like he's not being understood, familiar from the first year where they communicated mostly through nodding and overdramatic hand gestures. Yes, but it's just scarf, yes? Not big deal, always can wash. I mean, yes, but, Sid stutters, his mouth going faster than its brain. It's special, yeah? You gave it to me, that's... It's just important. Gino makes a small noise, and instead turns to look at him, only to find Gino staring back. His eyes are big and wide, and his hands have stopped moving. Important because I give to you. Yes, Sid's stupid, traitorous mouth says. It is, you're important to me, that's why. He has to look away then, feeling his cheeks heat up because, shit, that was too many feelings to be revealing. But then Gino makes another noise, this one like he's choking. And Gino's hand is on his cheek, making him look back. "You," Gino says, looking happy, looking brilliant. "You think I'm important?" "Yes," Sid repeats, something sparking in his stomach because he might be reading this wrong. He also might not, because Gino's expression is open and warm, his eyes fixed on Sid's face. "You important to me," Gino says, voice full of sincerity, his palm on Sid's cheek making Sid's skin buzz. "You always important." In the face of that, Sid can barely manage to ask, "Is this okay?" before he's leaning in, half terrified and half elated, to carefully brush his lips against Gino's. For a second, Sid thinks he's got it wrong, because Gino doesn't move. But then, Gino does, his lips parting on a groan as he kisses back. The sparking feeling in Sid's stomach flares as the hand on his cheek slips to grab at the back of his neck. Gino pulling him closer and stroking his thumb up and down in the place just underneath Sid's ear. There's a soft thump as the knitting Gino had been holding falls to the floor because Gino's other hand is grabbing onto Sid's wrist, tugging him until Sid finally moves to straddle Gino's thighs. The change in position brings their chests together, the buzzing of Sid's skin increasing even more as he feels Gino's chest move underneath his hands. He has to break away from air, and Gino takes the opportunity to start kissing down his neck, whispering his name into his skin as Sid moans. He manages to pull away just enough so that he can look Gino in the eye, and what he finds there is the warmth and happiness and the excitement. It makes something jump in his throat. "Gino," he gets out, voice sounding broken even though they've only kissed for a few minutes. "You..." "Yes," Gino says, smiling as his thumb continues to rub up and down Sid's neck. "I want this. I want you too." "Oh," Sid says, and he can't not smile. Can't not giggle just a little. "I..." "Yeah. Yeah," Gino repeats, a little teasingly. But he's smiling too, the crinkly-eyed one that Sid likes best. And for that, Sid has to lean in again. This time, Sid doesn't pull away,
but lets Gino slip his tongue into his mouth,
and run his hand up and down Sid's side, shivering a little when Gino's nails catch against his skin. In retaliation, he slips his hands underneath Gino's shirt, rucking up the hem until he lays palms flat on Gino's chest and feel his pulse under his fingertips. Gino groans at him, pulling away again to lick a stripe up Sid's neck, then huffing out a laugh when Sid makes a choked noise. "Cheater," Sid breathes, but then Gino's biting at the skin, just enough so Sid feels it, but not enough to bruise. And then Sid's too distracted to say anything else but Gino's name. They don't do much more than make out on the couch, because they do have a game. But when things slow down, Sid's able to tuck his face into Gino's neck and smile. "I'm glad you made me that scarf," he mumbles into Gino's skin. And Gino hums back, his hands running up and down Sid's back. "Yes, very glad," Gino replies, and then gently shoves Sid so that they're sitting side by side again. "Now we watch TV until we leave, yeah?" "Okay," Sid hums, pressing a quick kiss against Gino's neck before tucking his head against Gino's shoulder. Gino's arms settling around him, heavy and warm. On their next road trip, the flight attendants have announced that they've reached 10,000 feet, when Sid sees Gino reach into his bag and pull out his knitting needles. "Wait," James squawks as he pokes Gino in the shoulder, causing everyone to turn and stare at the two of them. "Were you the one who knit Sid's scarf?" "Shh," Gino replies, holding a finger up to his lips. "Have to concentrate or else you don't get hat." "I get a hat?" Neela replies, looking ridiculously excited even as Gino shushes him again. After a second, he asks, sounding even more outraged, "And since when can you knit?" "Wait, what, Kneeler? Looking to upgrade from Polly? Cooking isn't good enough for you anymore?" Duper calls out. And the whole plane devolves into yet another chirp fest targeting Kneeler. Sid glances back at Gino as Kneeler fails at defending himself. And Gino shoots him a wink, grinning slightly before turning back to his knitting. Sid smiles back, feeling his cheeks heat a little and not really caring, before settling into his seat and pulling out his Kindle to read a book on military history. The click-click of Gino's needles as soothing as a heartbeat. The end. Thank you for listening, and if you enjoyed the story, you can leave feedback for Rapunzeling at the entry on Archive of Our Own. And if you enjoyed my reading, I would love to hear what you think. And you can find me as lattice_frames at Archive of Our Own, Dreamwith, and on Twitter.